Turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've chosen to use Luke this morning, but we'll also look at some of the account in Matthew. In Luke 23, I want to begin with verse 50. The title of the message this morning is taken from an old song many years ago. I remembered, "Then Came the Morning." All the grief and heartache and crying and tears, but then came the morning. And the morning was today, Sunday, the first day of the week. At the breaking of the day, Jesus was risen from the dead. What was gloom turned into glory. Luke 23, verse 50. Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel and the deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, which also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before had laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Chapter 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre and told these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Father, bless your word today to the hearts and lives of all that are here. Receive praise and honor and glory from us today, we ask. We love you because you first loved us, Father. Bless the preaching of the word to the hearts of your people. And if there's someone who's not yet saved that watches this live streaming or is here in the service, we pray the Holy Spirit will have liberty to work in their heart and help them to see their need and understand that we can take the scriptures and show them how to be saved even today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday, the first day of the week, the Sabbath had ended. The Sabbath in the Jewish tradition goes from Friday evening at sundown until Saturday evening at sundown. And Sunday, the first day of the week. All four Gospels record this, and all four Gospels record that it was the first day of the week when the women came to the tomb. The women came very early in the morning at the breaking of the day. Therefore, it was dark when they left their homes. They could not come on the Sabbath day. It was against tradition and against their commandment to travel more than a mile on the Sabbath day. And they could not go except like to the temple for worship, and to travel otherwise or do any work was forbidden. And it was dark at night. It was dangerous in the dark. Their roads and paths were not like ours today, manicured and lighted. It would have been dark, and the paths would have been dangerous, and robbers and thieves could have been out in the dark. And so they waited until the breaking of the day. Darkness kept them away until now, And darkness keeps many people away from God all the time. The people, the Bible says in John chapter 1, that Jesus is the life and the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Then over in chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So darkness is a type of sin, and darkness hinders our ability to travel about and do things. And these women had to wait until it was almost daylight to come. Our world is in darkness today, and it's getting darker all the time. You'd like to think that the power of God in preaching the gospel and churches and Christian witness and all the Christian literature that is out there that explains how a person can be saved would make a real indention into the numbers of the population of the world. But the population of the world is 7 billion, and there are far more people who are lost than there are who are saved. Too many are in darkness, and darkness is dangerous. Robbers and criminals like darkness so they can do their deeds without being revealed. These women were on a path to get to the tomb, and there were no lighted streets in those days. There was no powerful flashlight like you see advertised on television. There was no car lights to guide their way. Maybe just a lighter knot, as us country people call it. That's the heart of a piece of pine. And you light it and it will burn for a long time. And old people used to go hunting in the night with a lighter knot they carried for their path. And then they might have had a candle, or they may have had a small lamp, but that would have been the only light that they would have had. But the light of the world is Jesus Christ, and the Word of God lights our way. Psalm 119, 105 says the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But so many do not know the Word of God today. They do not know about Christ. They don't know about the resurrection. They don't know how that applies to their life. They understand that we are a religious people, but what they don't know is we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And they lack that because they're still in darkness. These ladies come at the breaking of the day. It was a long trek to get to where they went. And now they have come. They don't know yet that Jesus is risen from the dead. So they are still grieving. If you look in Luke 23 and back in verse 27, at the crucifixion, the Bible says, there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. On Jesus going to the cross to be crucified, they were weeping and crying and following him as he went to be crucified. And they've still been crying and weeping after he was buried. The disciples were not with them. In one of the accounts of the Gospels, it tells us that they questioned, how shall we remove the stone? The stone was of great weight. It was cut out of stone. It was placed here. Plus the soldiers had gone to Pilate and said, you know, his disciples said he would rise from the dead. We need to secure the tomb so that they can't come and steal the body and say he rose from the dead. And so he told them to seal the stone and to stand guard at the tomb. And this they did. The disciples were not with them because they were afraid when Jesus was taken and crucified. And they had hidden themselves in an inner room, and all the doors were shut. And the Bible says, because of the fear of the Jews. They believed that if the Jews came and took Jesus to crucify him, he would come and take the disciples and do the same. All the disciples had fled, but Peter came back to warm his hands by the fire and to listen about what was going on with Jesus. But you'll remember the story how Jesus had prophesied to him he would deny him three times before the rooster would crow twice. And Peter did exactly that in Matthew 26, 69 through 75. He recognized what he had done. He went out and wept bitterly in repentance. The disciples were hidden. Judas was grieved that he had betrayed innocent blood, convicted by what he had done for 30 pieces of silver, the cost of a slave. And he went, took the money back to the priests, and they bought the potter's field to bury those who had no money with that money. In Luke 23, 27, as Jesus went to be crucified, this great company followed, and the women were in the main interest on the day, going on the first day of the week. There were several women, several of notoriety with the disciples and with Christ, Mary Magdalene and Salome, and these came at the tomb and came to anoint his body. But it had seemed to all the disciples and to all the women that all hope was lost. They were depressed. They were grieved. They thought it should have been different. But wait, the Sabbath is over. Now they're coming to the tomb. They had seen Jesus on trial, beaten, mocked, and crucified. The scriptures reveal seven things Jesus said while he was dying on the cross. The first one, as they nailed him to the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I've faced many times difficult circumstances. I wish I had the grace to be that forgiving as Jesus was. I don't take long to forgive because I know forgiveness hinders your relationship with God. If you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. And it doesn't help by hurting the person you're not forgiving. It only hurts you. It doesn't hurt them. Secondly, Jesus said to the thief that was dying on the cross, two thieves were crucified with him, and they railed upon him. They said, "If you're the Lord, come down from the cross and save us and yourself." And then later, one was repentant, and he said, "Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me." He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He looked to his mother Mary and said to his disciple John, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." And from that hour, John took her to his home and cared for her. Jesus went through the agony of the darkness. There he paid the price for our sins. The Father would not be in fellowship with him because he was bearing the uncleanness of all the sins of man upon himself. And he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Christ was forsaken for that period of time on the cross so that you and I don't ever have to be forsaken by God. He bore our sins on the tree. Then Jesus said, "I thirst." And they put a sponge with vinegar and raised it up to his lips. No doubt after hours on the cross and bleeding out, his mouth and throat and tongue and lips were parched. And then he said, "It is finished." And with a loud cry, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He bowed his head and yielded up his spirit. These women had seen him die on the cross. They came preparing for the Sabbath to break the legs of those on the cross so they could not lift themselves up to breathe and they would die very shortly. But Jesus was already dead, and so they took a spear and pressed it through his ribs, and the blood and the water came out, and they knew he was dead. He was dead of his own power to dismiss his spirit. Imagine the sadness. Imagine the fear. Imagine the heartbreak. All of those who were believers. Jesus is dead. Joseph comes and begs the body from Pilate, takes him down from the cross, wraps him in linen, and places him in a new tomb. But there's grief. There's heartache. There's fear. There's disappointment. There's sorrow and tears at the passing of the Savior and the burial of the same. But then came the morning. The women come at the breaking of the day on Sunday, and they find that Jesus is risen from the dead just as he had said. One account states that the angel sat upon the stone after he rolled it away from the door. Matthew 28, if you want to look there with me, I'll read you a few verses in Matthew 28 and beginning with verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, it was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. My friends, the third thing today is that Jesus rose as he said. Because he has risen from the dead, our sorrow is over. Our fears of death are gone. We have no heartache over our sin because he has the power to cleanse us of all our sin and make us righteous in his sight. There's no disappointment in his promises because Jesus did exactly what he promised he would do. But they were slow to take heed to his words and believe what was going to happen. No need to weep in sorrow over death for a believer, because the scripture is clear. When a believer dies, he leaves his body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the scripture promises. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 8. He who conquered death met John, the beloved disciple, to give him the revelation in chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, I was dead and I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. Christ conquered death and he rose from the dead, and he has the power to save us and to give us the promise of a resurrection one day with a body like his body. We shall see him as he is, and forever shall we be with the Lord. Come and believe. Then go and tell. That's the message that he has given. Let us rejoice this day, this anniversary of the resurrection of Christ, the first day of the week, Sunday, from the time of the breaking of the morning. We should be rejoicing and thanksgiving to God for what Christ hath done. Be bold in your identification with Christ. Be saved. Follow him in believers' baptism publicly and be identified with him, and then be a bold witness that Christ can save and tell others. Rejoice that he is risen. Praise him, for he is risen. Because all who believe have the same promise of a resurrection as well. I copied this out of one of my commentaries. Easter is a festival of the dawn. Clement of Alexandria, one of the early church fathers, caught the significance of Easter when he wrote, "Christ has turned our sunsets into sunrise." In the resurrection narrative itself, the record says, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun, and life has never been the same again. At sunset, it seemed the universe did not care what happened to the righteous. But at sunrise, the disciples knew that at its heart was an invincible power, that it was designed by benevolent intelligence, tempered by limitless love, directed by holy purpose. At sunset, the cross seemed a horrible implement of execution from which everyone cringed. But at sunrise, it became a reverent and holy symbol before which the world kneels in adoration and rises in inspiration. At sunset, the grave sealed with an immovable boulder and heavily guarded seemed conclusive evidence that death was the end. With the coming of the dawn, however, was the proof that man has forever and outlives death. The grave represents an expectant adventure into life eternal. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? At sunset, only minor chords of hopeless existence were heard. But at sunrise, the exuberant harmonies of joyous and meaningful living were sung. At sunset, a Galilean rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth, was dead. But at sunrise, he was truly the Christ of God, risen Lord of glory. At sunset, the obscure disciples were a timid, discouraged, disillusioned, weary lot. But at sunrise, they were transformed, confident, courageous crusaders who went forth to defy kings, to proclaim Christ, and to change the world. Easter was the day that changed the world. Easter is the festival of the dawn. If you can catch the spirit, the power, the significance of this day, it can turn your sunsets into sunrise. The Easter dawn should turn your questions into renewed certainty of life's invisibles. Thomas, the hard-hearted logician, was the typical materialist among the disciples. His faith, like the others, had dwindled completely when Jesus died. When it was announced that Jesus had risen and was alive, he replied, "Except I see, I will not believe." Then the risen Lord appeared and said, "Thomas, be not faithless. Come and touch my wounds and see my side." Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are they who have not seen me and yet believe." Thomas fell down and said, "My Lord and my God." And because he saw him, he believed. But Jesus said, "Blessed are you who believe that have never seen him." He's given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Today is the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. Don't ever forget how desperate things may become for you. Then came the morning. The power of God is real, and he's available to you if you'll call upon him. In 1975, my wife and I went forward in an invitation in a church like this one. We had heard the message. God had been dealing with our hearts prior to that. I was under conviction that I needed to be saved. And when the invitation was given that morning, we both went forward and were dealt with from the Bible. And we got on our knees and we prayed and asked the Lord to save us and forgive us and cleanse us. And you know what? He did. And we're still saved. And we're going to be saved when he comes to take us home. Not because of what we've done or our worthiness, but because of what Jesus did and his worthiness. What he saves, he keeps. The power of God unto salvation. Do you know him? Do you know that? If not, we'll have our... Jacob, Miss Nanette will come play. Is Jacob gone down to the... Oh, he's back here. Okay, he's asleep at the wheel back here. Just kidding. Father, bless the sick list today and bless this assembly of people. Fill the Christians with your Spirit. Help us to be bold witnesses of Christ and salvation. And if there's one not saved, help them come and let us show them from the Bible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.